Technical Foul cool. Podcast. It's your boy Abdi, Miles, Johannes. Today we got a special guest, Des Wells, professional basketball player in China. You know, has a lot of businesses out there that we're going to get into in the podcast that Johannes is going to touch base with. And we're going to talk a little bit about BLM. But Des, man, we're glad to have you on the pod today. First question I wanted to ask you was basketball related. What inspired you to be a basketball player today?
Yeah, I'd say it's my mom. You know, she had a big impact on me. She played basketball, so, like, you know, she would do a lot of things with me as far as, like, helping me, training me, and pushing me when it came to basketball. So, yeah, my mom was, you know, my first inspiration when it came to the game.
I hear where you're coming from. A lot of people state that MJ, Kobe, you know, the GOATs are usually their inspiration, but hearing that from you, power to you. There's a lot of folks out there who don't, you know, give the praise and power to the parents that built them to what they are today. And she inspired you to have a standout career in Maryland. Do you want to talk about how that paved your way to be the player you are today in the professional, in China, and all that?
I would say, you know, my mom has been like my biggest fan since I was young, you know. So helping me choose a school and, you know, to put me in the right direction, point me in the right direction, kind of being like a mentor for me my whole life has been great. You know, once I got to Maryland, you know, introduced me to like kind of like manhood in a way, you know, taking care of my stuff, you know, introducing me to more responsibility, you know, as being a student athlete. And also, you know, really taking the craft of basketball and really trying to do something with it. I think all of those things, you know, originate from my mom into me going to Maryland. And, you know, to Maryland, it was really me putting everything together.
So Maryland, you did 3 years in Maryland. You graduated. Mm-hmm. You went over, played it a little bit in the G League, but you found your place overseas. I wanted to ask you, at transitioning, culture shock, man, how did you adapt to that?
Yeah, it was tough. Of course, it was tough. Right away, it's a big shock because, you know, you're not going to see or have anything the way that it was in the States playing basketball. You know, not even the practices, that much different, which is good because, you know, you're going to grow from it. But it was an adjustment, I would say, to say the least. It was an adjustment. Because really, one thing I would say about playing overseas basketball is that if you're not comfortable with, like, sitting with yourself and being alone and, you know, finding a focus, you know, you won't be able to make it playing overseas because it's like 89-90% of the time you're either by yourself working out or you know, playing basketball. So you be on the court is only probably 3 to 4 hours a day at most, you know, maybe a lot less than that. But, you know, once you have 20 hours left in the day, so that's a lot of time for you to sit with yourself and pick up or put down good habits and pick up bad habits. So I think it's about, you know, professionalism is really, really important playing overseas.
I mean, shoot, man, like, it looks like you adapted very, very well. The last 2 years you've been playing in China, you've averaged over 30 points, and I want to give a big kudos out to you. And again, I know you said that your mom was a big inspiration. I really, really want to focus, like, on that aspect that,
okay,
you don't need a father to be, you know, like a father figure. There's mothers out there doing their things, and you're, you know, a prime example for that. And I really give kudos to you and your mom for that.
For sure. I wouldn't say that you don't need a father figure. You know, my father wasn't in my life, but I had, you know, coaches and other guys who stepped up and, you know, to provide a certain level of discipline for me, you know, and just cared. You know, I would say you need somebody that cares. You know, every child And every kid has a chance to be something special when they have somebody in their life that genuinely cares about them and seeing them succeed. So I think that's what's most important. But I also think that, you know, it falls on the kids as well. You know, if you don't want to be nothing, you're not going to be anything, you know. But if you, like I said, if you have somebody that genuinely cares about you and your future, you know, you will care about your future. So I think that's, you know, it's like a tandem. I think it goes hand to hand.
Hey, Des, okay. How are you, man?
What's going on, bro? How you doing?
Not too bad, man. Before I get into the business aspect, I had a quick question for you, man. How hard is it to learn another language out there?
I'm not gonna lie, it's pretty tough. But, you know, like I would tell anybody else, it's like when you go in somewhere different, it's like, bro, you don't go to, like, you go to New York, you want to get like a New York slice of pizza, right? You're not trying to, whatever you're, if you're from the South, you don't want to go up to New York and get anything that you would eat down South, you know what I'm saying? So I would say, you know, when you go over to Italy, try new things, like food, all that, like really immerse yourself in the culture. You know, I think if you do that, it's a lot easier for you to learn anything. You know, the language itself will be tough because it's, of course, it's new, but it's fun. You know, it keeps your mind going. And that's just another way of speeding up time too. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause a lot of guys go over there and they just complain the whole time and it's tough. And, you know, you got to get past that. You know what I'm saying? Cause you, unless you give up, you're there for 7-8 months. So you got to, you know, and like a lot of the foreigners and stuff over there in those countries, they take that as like a big sign of respect. Respect for their culture, for them. You know, and that goes a long way.
For sure, man. Yeah, coming from a different country, I respect that. You know, you're trying to learn a language and all. Yeah, so getting to the business aspect, man. So tell us about Vegan Daddy and Works brand, man. I went on the link in your Instagram and I was filling it out. Like, you know, I'm not from North Carolina, but I'm like, yo, let me fill this out and see what it's about.
Oh, no doubt. Well, Vegan Daddy is, I'm trying to bring a plant-based food truck to my city, which is the South Side of Raleigh, North Carolina. So, you know, I've become vegan probably a year and a half ago. You know, it's definitely a journey. But vegan, it's tough. It's, you know, you battle with it. But I think it's a good idea. I think it's, you know, a way to provide healthier food options. Because it's got a couple food deserts on the South Side of Raleigh. So I think that, you know, this can be the start. You know, it can be the start of something really good. As far as the War brand, that's like going to be an apparel brand. Like everyday wear, like from shirts to shorts to like, you know, crew necks, hoodies, jackets, all that. You know, it's going to be like an everyday, like, clothing wear, but it'll have like a little bit like a sense of fashion and today's worth to it, you know what I'm saying? So just trying to really like integrate and like build something special with what I can do or what I'm actually, you know, especially with the money that I'm making. And you know, I think this is the time to do that.
Nah, I love that. I love that, man. Is there any struggles that you see, you know, as a Black business owner or just a business owner in general?
Yeah, I think it is. I think some things I'll be able to get past because I don't need any loans from anybody or anything like that. I just, you know, build a team, people that care, that want to do something in the same area. And after that, you know, it's really just, you know, kind of getting through all the BS and the ups and downs and just continuing to move forward. But as far as that, I don't think I'll really, not that I won't have any hiccups, but I think it's just stuff that you just got to learn along the way, you know?
Nah, I love that. I love that. Yeah, Miles, I think I'm good, man. You wanna...
Can I just ask one question? I mean,
what's that?
Like, I know you from North Carolina and all. I'm gonna be honest with you. I know a few people out there that they love their soul food. Like, I just wanted to know if you think that's gonna play a big part in a, you know, possibly opening up a food truck out there.
Oh, say, ask the question again.
So, like, it's a you said you got a vegan food truck coming in Carolina.
Yeah.
A lot of the folks out there love their soul food. Do you think you're gonna have tough competition, or is it gonna be very swift?
Not really. I think so, but it wouldn't be in the same category. It'd be in the same category of food, but not in the same lane or same column, because I haven't seen any soul food vegan restaurants. The only restaurants I've seen in Raleigh that are vegan are they don't travel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And you bringing that
So,
there.
right, exactly. Like, and most of them that offer plant-based options are on the north side, which that's just the more affluent side of town. So the south side is where they want better food options. They want better of everything. It's just they don't want to drive 30 minutes for food. People get off work, they don't want to do that. They may have kids, they may have to pick their kids up from daycare, or they may just have had a long day and they're not trying to do all that, which is fine. So I just think that, if I'm conscious enough to know those things, I feel like I have the responsibility to make something or contribute something that's going to help that issue.
Wow. I really admire that mindset, man. Especially coming from a brother, thinking of something new out, something that you guys don't really have in that area. I think it's gonna take off. I'm really looking forward, and I'm hoping that you have a lot of success with that, sir.
Oh, for
So
sure, for sure.
absolutely. I can tell you're an intelligent brother. You're definitely, self-aware, and with that, I'm sure you're aware of everything else that's happening in your home state, in the country. And I just want to get your thoughts on, the current state of our country, in light of everything that's transpired recently with that case that just went down with Derek Chauvin. And just get your thoughts, because that's something that directly affects our people. So I'm sure you have some type of feeling or emotion towards it. I just want to see what you how you feel about that.
I think that what happened as far as his I don't think they've given out the sentencing yet, but the verdict on it, I think, is what should have happened a year ago. It shouldn't have taken this long, but this is where we are, and that's fine. But I think this is just what's right. I don't think this is, like, for me, I don't think this is really anything necessarily to celebrate, but I understand the cause of celebration. I understand why people are celebrating. I think that this is, he's got the punishment that, well, we don't know the punishment yet. We just know the verdict. I think he should have been charged with murder. And should the other two or three officers who was there, they should be held accountable as well. But I think, out of the long list since, I want to say, 2014, when all of these, unarmed men were and women have been killed by police officers, I think they should be held accountable. And it sucks that this is, like, one of the first ones that I remember it happening. George Zimmerman is a rich guy now in Florida, when before this he was just, like a middle class guy. But now he's gotten rich. He signs, like, Skittle packages and stuff like that, which is, it's classless. But like I said, I think justice on this case, once we finally say the sentencing, I think that, we can kind of say that justice has been served. But there are hundreds of thousands of possibly millions of other people who didn't get justice. So I think this is just one step in the right direction, but we have to continue moving forward.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. That's the not a cause, like you said, not a cause for celebration, but a step in the right direction for sure. So yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that you were able to think about it that way, because I see a lot of people, in jubilation over the verdict. And I tell a lot of people, this is just part of it. It was kind of a foregone not a conclusion, but it was just the right thing to do. And
Right, right, right.
it's definitely the first step in a hopefully will be a some change in how the justice system operates. But that being said, you have the floor, Abdi. Man, Des, we really appreciate you for being on the podcast. We wish you well in your new business investments and all that. Quick question before you leave. Johannes in here is into cryptocurrency. You have any stocks that you invested in? You into crypto at all?
Oh man. Yeah, I got a lot of shares in Dogecoin. I got in at like
my man.
Like a couple tenths of a cent. So since it went up to like 30, 40, 50, 60%, I'm a happy man.
He got I'm assets. Man. He built that passive.
I got in there. I got in there when it was super low, and I just bought a whole bunch of it. And, oh yeah, man! Amen. I woke up one morning really happy.
That rate of return might be more than an NBA contract, man. You're gonna be rich, man.
Oh man, I can't wait. Give me 8 to 10 years when it's at $40, $50.
Then liquidate that money. You right, bro?
We gonna have to toast up to that when we all rolling the dough with our shares.
For sure, man. I appreciate y'all.
All right, man. You take care.
Yeah.
Boss. Take care.
Thanks for coming appreciate on the show, you. Sir.
All have right. a good one. No doubt.
The culture topics, we got to, like I said, short and sweet and simple for y'all today. We got to also give out, man, so many people we're losing. Our condolences to DMX and his family because he was way too young. And, you know, we all remember classics with him, and we're really gonna miss him. Definitely, man. He was a positive force from where everybody, all the stories that are coming out about him. He was a really nice stand-up guy. But yeah, so RIP to him and his family. Condolences to his family. And then we have a congratulations in order too for Mr. Dwayne Wade taking partial ownership of the Utah Jazz, new minority owner. Are you excited to see this type of trend? Because I'm noticing you got all type of athletes. You got LeBron buying part of the Red Sox. And you got A-Rod buying part of, I think, the Minnesota Timberwolves. And, yeah, man, what do you think about that? You like that trend?
Hey, listen, I love it. I love it because it's athletes who know the game. You know what I'm saying, that are being minority owners versus people who just own the team just for the investment portion of it. You know what I'm saying? So I love it. I just don't get maybe, you know, he broke it down and I should look at it, but I don't know why the Utah Jazz. Maybe D-Wade wants to own Donovan Mitchell for everybody saying that Donovan Mitchell's a D-Wade 2.0. But, you know, I'm curious on that reasoning. And but I think it's great. It's amazing. You know, it's a great way to go post NBA career by staying in the league and just doing something bigger by doing that. So I love it, man. I don't know about you, but I'm assuming you love it too.
Oh yeah, I'm here for it, bro. Man, D-Wade got two jobs. He on TNT now. He's a partial owner. He's just making his money work for him, and I'm here for it. Definitely see how Utah would be a good market. You know, they love their team, and Donovan Mitchell's that dude. So they're gonna be a serious force for years to come, and I think that's worth putting your money into. So, you have anything else you want to add to that, my man? Anything
yeah, else, Pierce. Dustin? Pierce, KG, all of you guys. No. I'm not talking about Pierce. No, we had the whole IG thing. I was going to say, okay, you guys should all, you know, as a group, be a minority owner of the Celtics, man. That would be dope.
Oh, yeah. They could all go in and be like a start, like a little ownership group and go in. Oh, yeah, wow. I mean, yeah, that'd be amazing.
Not to put KG's business out there, but he did make over $300 million in the NBA, and I don't know what for sponsorship. So I know he does have the money if he, you know, was taking care of that bankroll. But
definitely, he could do that. He write books. He got a biography from what was it? What was the book he just came out with? It was From A to KG or something. He had God, came out no with a biography idea. Recently. Yeah, but he's doing his thing, man. Definitely,
he's in that movie with Sandler, Adam Sandler.
Hell yeah. my man. I would love to see him in another movie, by the way. He did a really good job. If you haven't seen that movie, it's the closest thing I can compare it to is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. It was a wild ride, definitely. But I highly recommend watching that movie if you haven't seen it already.
Terrible ending.
Terrible ending. ending. It was a wild ride for shows, entertaining as hell. But the ending was definitely. Don't ruin it, my man. Let them watch.
No, I'm not gonna ruin it. I'm just saying it's a terrible ending. So watch it so you can know what it is. You know.
I would say it was more shocking than anything. It was like, really? That's how we gonna do that?
Yeah. I mean, damn, man. Hey, I just want to talk about something real quick.
Go for it.
Tatum, bro. He's gonna be the MVP next season. I'm telling you right now. 53. Yeah, 53. He had 44 last night. You know, this man is just on a mission. Just getting better every season. You know what I'm saying? We need Deuce Tatum out there at all times. Tatum did say every time his son's there, he wants to put a show on. So, you know, definitely need Deuce Tatum out there, you know, courtside seats, you know what I'm saying? But the Celtics are looking great. Won 8 of the last 9 games. We're looking great. And I'm going to keep saying what I've been saying. Tatum is – he already has a better career than Pierce's pre-Big 3 era. I said it. I don't give a damn. And he's just making it a better – he's just making it better known.
I think he has a better cohort with him, though, you know, in Jaylen Brown. I think those two together are a force to come. And they're – both, oh man, dude, they stretch the floor so much, especially when you try to face guard that. Oh man, I would hate to have to draw up against that. But I think that's a good segue into our little giveaway that we had going on. Right, we had to come up with a response. Hold on, we had y'all give us y'all comments and give us y'all answers to the little survey question that we had. And with that being said, drum roll, the winner is
my boy, David, my boy, David, baby, from Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of ruined the question. My question was supposed to be pre-Big 3 era, as far as comparing Pierce and Tatum's career. But, you know, in the longevity, I guess Pierce did, you know, he does need that. I mean, Tatum does need that ring and that finals MVP and all that. So it goes to him. He'll get the hat. You know what I'm saying? I already know his address. No, not to be weird. But now it'll go to him. But look, man, the reason why I think Tatum is better than Pierce Big 3 era wise was, A, he had 53 points in regular season, which Pierce did not accomplish that high of. And Tatum made it to the Eastern Conference Finals twice, one being his rookie season at 19, with like points away from the NBA Finals, which is why I give him that nod. Abdi did say, you know, Pierce had a worse team than Tatum, but I still got to, you know, in my opinion, Tatum was just drafted into the league and into that team. So it's not like he chose that talent.
Definitely agree with you. Also, he bodied LeBron, and Paul Pierce can't say that. I think I think you can literally add that to your resume, being able to body a superstar at the age of 19. That's insane.
Hit him with his chest.
Yes, and chest bumped him. Like, get out of here, you little.
Yep.
That never happens. It's definitely something to remember. Do you have anything you need to well, congratulations to David on winning the drawing. And with that being said, we're near the home stretch with it. You have anything that you need to go off on today, sir?
Yeah, man. Ty Lawson, man. What the hell are you doing, bro? Washed up NBA player. Listen, Ty Lawson, I got beef with you, bro. Don't ever come at my man, Soulja Boy. Ever. All right? Now, as everybody knows, Soulja Boy got a new hit out with 7 million views in less than a week of Make It Clap music video dropping next week. All right? Stay tuned for that. You know, I'll be dropping my TikTok on that dance, you know, so be on the lookout for that. But look, Ty Lawson, man, washed up NBA player, bro, with mad DUI charges and all kinds of stuff, bro. You're not relevant, bro. You weren't relevant until after, like, since your North Carolina days. But look, my man commented on the song saying, Soulja Boy, you need some new friends if they told you that was heat. Or if that was heat. Now, Ty Lawson, why are you hating, bro? Soulja Boy has been out for over a decade, bro. Almost won a Grammy, bro. You never even been to the All-Star game, bro. And you're over here talking crazy like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, who are you, bro? You don't deserve to have the blue check mark next to your name, bro. I'm just telling you right now. Like, I had to go off, man. I don't like, why would you take the time out of your day to comment on somebody's song when it's popping off, you know, and saying, like, you know, disrespectful stuff like that, bro? Like, Ty Lawson, who are you, bro? Soulja Boy doesn't even know who you are.
He sound like a hater to me.
He does. Not me, though, right?
Not you, man. Anybody that talk, in case you didn't know, if you talk down on either Soulja Boy or Lil B, you got heat coming for you. Because Your Highness will not, he will not tolerate any Lil B or Soulja Boy slander at all.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Straight up.
Yeah. Well, I'm good on that. I think we can wrap it up from there. Thank you guys for joining us for another episode. Go ahead, and if you're watching this on YouTube, hit that like button, subscribe, and give us a comment. If you managed to make it to this portion of the video, go ahead and type Soulja Boy in the chat. All right, type Soulja Boy in the comments. Hit us with that with the like, subscribe. Follow us on our socials. We got those posted in the description as well. And if you have not already, get your merch. Guys, it's flying. It's hot. Get your merch, man. Definitely support the channel. And we'll be coming out with some more content with you, for you. And hopefully we see y'all again soon by this time next week. So with that being said, this has been Half Court Entertainment. This is Miles, Lil Gap, King Testify.
Yes, sir.
Stay safe. Keep wearing your mask.